This It's On moment is brought to you by On Nicotine Pouches.
If you're just tuning in, we're on the first tee at Fairway Links, and Spencer is up last.
Steve, he's got to be feeling the heat. Everyone's had a monster drive so far.
No doubt, Sue. A hush falls over the foursome as Spencer brings his club back.
Oh, Steve, it looks like it's on.
Products for tobacco consumers 21 years of age or older. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
It is God's desire that as surely as the dawn breaks forth daily, so will the revelation of his goodness be evident daily in every area of your life. Welcome to Dawn Extras with Tim Grage.
I'm actually very excited. I'm actually very excited this morning, primarily because if you've been following me, you would have actually finished the book of Colossians. If you've been on this journey with me, you would have finished the book of Colossians, or at the very least, you'll be finishing the book of Colossians today. Awesome. And so I rejoice with you. The thing about reading through God's word is that sometimes we may not even realize the advantage, we may not even realize the transformation that is going on your inside, the confirmation to the counsel of God that is going on in your life. I've said over and over again that the impact of spiritual growth, the way it's able to translate into natural things and into physical things and earthbound things, you actually can't measure. I think you've heard me say this once the last several weeks, the fact that no one told David that just writing poems and spending time worshiping God was going to equip him enough to kill a lion, to kill a bear, to bring him in front of Goliath, to ultimately kill Goliath. You know, what's the correlation between worship and the capacity to ultimately, and the boldness to ultimately kill a Goliath? There is no natural correlation, but there lies the thing. Spiritual growth, because it's happening in a timeless arena, its ability to influence spectacular changes in a time-bound arena is unparalleled. Let me say it again. Spiritual growth takes place in a timeless arena. And because of that, its impact in a time-bound arena is immeasurable. It's actually immeasurable. So your life is changing. Your life is changing. Your mind is being renewed, right? Just by reading through this one book that you have done. It might not look like it was a lot, right? But just by reading through this one book that you have done, you have renewed your mind. Paul puts it this way. It says that do not be conformed to this world, but be you what transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. That's in Romans 12. And then in Ephesians 4, it talks about the washing of water by the word. The washing of water by the word. And you have done so. And you are growing in your capacity. And your life will display it. One of the things that I'm hoping that this study of Colossians would have done for all of us is help us recalibrate our purpose for serving God. I mean, one of the things that we asked in one of the books when we read, I think it wasn't yesterday, maybe 2 days ago, was is your pursuit and your serving and your relationship with Jesus based on things? And if it's based on things, we need to recalibrate that. We need to redress that, because if we do not, then you open yourself up for the enemy to take advantage, because in those areas, things have become idolatrous pursuits in our lives, but not anymore. Today, because Colossians has 4 chapters, and from Monday to Thursday, we finish the chapters. Today, we want to do a quick summary, but more specifically, we want to pray. You see, one of the greatest assets in the book of Colossians were actually the prayers of Paul. The interesting prayers that Paul prayed that empowered the people of Colossae to be as mature as they are. If Paul prayed those prayers, then those are the kind of prayers that we are being instructed that we also need to pray for ourselves. But before we do that again, what was the book of Colossians about? Again, the book of Colossians was written to the people in Colossae, to the Christians, the saints in Colossae. And I love that. In the way he opened it, actually said to the saints in Colossae. It didn't matter whether they were perfect or not. He knew they were imperfect, but he called them according to how God saw them and not according to how they behaved. He called them saints. and say if you are born again, you are a saint. You may be struggling one thing or the other, but you and I need to learn to see ourselves as Christ sees us, irrespective of how we are, right? So he called them saints. So it was written to the saints. Paul also wrote this letter. Well, it was him and Timothy that wrote this letter, but Paul wrote it while he was in prison, which is beautiful because you if he did not say it, when you read the his words at different points in time, you will notice or you will get the impression that he was happy, that he was smiling. Paul was not allowing his circumstance influence what he was doing and begin to color what he was doing. No, he understood whether he was a free man or whether he was a prisoner, right? His assignment was consistent. And he wrote this whilst he was in prison. And then Colossians 1, he talked to us about the deity of Christ. Colossians 2, he drew attention to the fact that if Christ is indeed deity, then all our beliefs should be measured against him. And any belief that does not draw our heart in pursuit of him, then that belief is not of God. Then that teaching is not of God. Any teaching that begins to bring you into self-worship, angelic worship. Oh, I should mention this as well, which is something that is, again, becoming common and popular. And so we see individuals who are teaching angelic worship, and they're talking about how angels have come and angels are teaching them. And they're teaching things that are extra biblical, things that cannot be supported by scripture. But what they use to support that conviction is that they had a spiritual encounter. Listen, do not let anyone use a supposed spiritual encounter to convince you of the legitimacy of a truth if it's not supported properly by scripture. I'll say it again. Do not let anyone, no matter who it is, use a very highfalutin, very emotionally charged spiritual encounter, make you begin to believe something that is not supported by scripture. Jesus is our pursuit. So Colossians chapter 2 was to bring us to a place where we're measuring whatever we believe, whatever we are convicted by, against the person of Christ. Colossians chapter 3, he began to focus on the life of a Christian and how we're supposed to live our life. Now that you accept that your belief should be Christ, your pursuit should be Christ, how should this translate into your life and your lifestyle? And so in Colossians chapter 3, he spoke to husbands, he spoke to wives, he spoke to businesses, he spoke to children. He just generally spoke about how we're to conduct ourselves. And then Colossians chapter 4, he began to give a lot of miscellaneous directives. Colossians chapter 4 was where he also asked that they will pray for him. And it was interesting because the prayer he asked for them to pray for him was that he will be given more opportunities to preach the gospel. And one of the things that we emphasize in Colossians chapter 4 is that we all need to be willing to look for opportunities to preach the gospel. You and I need to look for opportunities and seize opportunities to preach the gospel. I think so many of us have become so engrossed in the things that we need, the things that we desire, that we are no longer convicted of our pursuit of eternal things. People are going to hell. Colossians chapter 4 reminded us quite strongly at the beginning and towards the end. And towards the end, he wrote to a guy called Aristarchus, and he told him that he should focus on the ministry that he had been given. And we are being reminded and instructed of the necessity for us to be evangelistic. Child of God, it's all about accepting the fact that you have been called to be God's evangelist upon the earth. You are God's evangelist upon the earth. And I really want to encourage us, right? As you have learned so much from the book of Colossians, let it keep instructing you as we pursue. Please note, many of you came into the Hub, our WhatsApp group for this session, and you put your scriptures there. I was so blessed reading your scriptures, particularly reading different scriptures in different translations. Just reading them in different translations blessed me immensely, opened my heart immensely, right? And so I thank you for that. But now I want us to pray some of those prayers as we begin to close out. One of the greatest strengths in the Pauline books are the prayers that he prayed, because those prayers have the capacity to activate and stir graces from within us. Look at Colossians. So are you ready? I hope you're ready to pray with me. Colossians chapter 1. Let's start from there. This time I'm taking the prayers from the King James translation. Verse 9, it says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire." This is the prayer, "that you will be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." I think I want to back this one up with the Amplified. Colossians 1 verse 9. Look at it. In Amplified it says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about it, we have not stopped praying for you, asking specifically that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom, with insight into his purposes and in understanding of spiritual things." Oh, I don't have time. But thus, that statement alone is so deep. It's so deep. Because once there is insight into spiritual things, you will have insight into, advanced insight actually, into natural things. Once you have insight into spiritual things, it will give you advanced insight into natural things. So I want you now to study. We're going to pray verse 9. Verse 9, let me see if I can put verse 9 on the screen. There we go. I want us to pray this. It says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." I want you to lift your voice. This is our first prayer, and declare that you are filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Please don't play games with this. Let's pray in the name of Jesus. I declare in the matchless name of Jesus, I am filled with the knowledge of your will. I am filled with the knowledge of your will in all spiritual wisdom. I have insight into your purpose and understanding of spiritual things. I have insight into your purpose and I have understanding of spiritual things. I speak over your children and declare that they are filled with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I declare that they have insight into your purpose for their lives, your purpose for their destiny, your purpose for their cities, for their communities, for their nations. I declare that we are filled with the knowledge of your will, not with our own personal pursuits, but with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I declare this is our testimony in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, move to verse 10. It says, "so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord." Let me read it from the King James. King James says, "that you walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work." And in verse 10 is so rich. It says, "you will walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing. You will be fruitful in every good work. You increase in the knowledge of God." I want you to lift your voice and I want you to declare this one now, that you are, that you walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. You are fruitful in every good work and you increase in the knowledge of God. It will just change everything in your life. Can we do this? Pray verse 10. I declare that we walk worthy because we are filled with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom, spiritual understanding. I declare that we walk worthy of you, O Lord. We are fruitful in every good work. Fruitful in every good work. Our steps are ordered to the good works, and we are fruitful in every good work. We increase second by second, minute by minute, moment by moment. We increase in the knowledge of God. We increase in the knowledge of God. I declare that in every decision, we walk worthy of you, O Lord, unto all pleasing, meaning we are pleasing to you in every area. Every area of our life becomes pleasing to you in the name of Jesus. We walk worthy of you unto all pleasing. We are fruitful in every good work in the name of Jesus. We are fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. This is our testimony in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. Now look at verse 11. Come on. Go with me now to verse 11. It says there, "we are strengthened with might, with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience unlock suffering with joyfulness. I want you to declare that you are strengthened with might according to his glorious power. You are strengthened with might. To be strengthened with might means nothing can break you, nothing can cause you to falter or stumble. You are strengthened with might according to his glorious power, with all patience, long suffering, and joyfulness. Pray and declare. I speak over everyone connected with me now. Strengthened with might. For those whose fire is running cold, strengthened with might. For those, oh God, who are losing hope and whose faith is beginning to run low, strengthened with might. Strengthened with might in the name of Jesus. To those who are beginning to lose confidence and boldness, I declare strengthened with might according to verse 11. In the name of Jesus, we are strengthened with might according to your glorious power, unto all patience, long-suffering, joyfulness. Those who are operating now in depression, frustration, I declare in all joyfulness, strengthened with might. Strengthened with might according to your glorious power, in all patience, long-suffering, and joyfulness. I declare that there is joyfulness. It is restored in hearts in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Now hop to verse 13. Ooh, look at the time. Look at verse 13. Who hath delivered us? Not who will. Not who will, but who has delivered us, it says, from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. I want you to declare that we are delivered from the power of darkness. We are making this confession, declare that according to the word of God, we are delivered from the power of darkness. I operate in the kingdom of his son. Meaning the only experience we have is the inheritance, our inheritance in Christ, nothing else, nothing else. No such thing as ancestral curses, no such thing as generational sicknesses, no such thing as generational poverty. There is no such thing operational in our lives. Why? He says that we have been delivered from the power of darkness and translated to a different kingdom. Lift your voice, make this declaration. I speak over every life. To every life and anyone that is experiencing that which men and might refer to as a generational curse, you are illegal. For we have been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. We operate in the kingdom of his dear son. We have been delivered from the power of darkness, every form of oppression. We have been delivered from the power of darkness in the name of Jesus. Delivered from the power of darkness in the name of Jesus, translated into the kingdom of your son. I declare that this is our testimony in the name of Jesus. Calibros Kadia, we have been delivered. I declare every form of oppression, every form of satanic oppression, frustrated, terminated. Why? For we have been delivered from darkness, translated to the kingdom of your dear son. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Now look at verse 22. Look at verse 22, still Colossians 1. It says, in the body of his flesh. Maybe I should read it from verse 21. It says, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. I want you to declare verse 22. I am holy, unblameable, unreprovable in God's sight. I am holy, unblameable, unreprovable in God's sight. Oh, Shabreska. Maybe I should read it in the Amplified verse 22 so that we can appreciate the strength of this. It says, yet Christ has now reconciled you to God in his physical body through death in order to present you before the Father holy, blameless, and beyond reproach. I want you to declare that you live a life that is holy, that is blameless, and beyond reproach. Come on, pray and declare over your children, no matter the struggle. We live the lives that are holy, blameless, beyond reproach. And we are able to translate this to our communities, to our families. We live a life that is holy, that is blameless, that is beyond reproach, holy, blameless, beyond reproach, holy, blameless, O Calibro Sata Kadia, holy, blameless, and beyond reproach, in the name of Jesus. This is our story, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Look at verse 27. It says, God in his eternal plan chose to make known to them how great for the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in and among you, the hope and the guarantee of realizing the glory. Christ, King James says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I want you to lift your voice and declare that it's your prayer now. Holy Spirit, reveal Christ in me. Reveal Christ in me. Notice what I'm saying. Not reveal Christ to me, but reveal Christ in me. Come on, lift your voice, pray. We're still praying. Declare it. Holy Spirit, reveal Christ in me. Spirit of the living God, reveal Christ in me. Reveal Christ in us. I declare that in any area where our lives operate subpar, reveal Christ in us. Reveal Christ in us, that through us men might experience you, our Lord and Savior, in the name of Jesus. I declare, reveal Christ in us. Reveal Christ in us, in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. I want you now to also declare, we're moving now to Colossians chapter 2, but I want you now to declare that your heart is rooted in Christ. Listen to the prayer. My heart is rooted in Christ. The enemy is trying to make other things become our idolatrous pursuits, but no, I want you to declare, my heart is rooted. My faith, my convictions, my heart is rooted in Christ. Come on, pray. My heart is rooted in Christ. 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 I speak it over everyone praying with me right now. And I declare that their hearts rooted in Christ, unshakable, immovable. Their heart is rooted in Christ. They are yielded. We are yielded completely, totally submitted and yielded to the Christ. Our heart is rooted in Christ, in Jesus' name. We are almost out of time. Look at Colossians chapter 2. I want you to us to pray verse 6 and verse 7. It says in the King James, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. I want you again to declare that I am rooted and built up in Christ. My faith is established. I am rooted and built up in Christ. My faith is established. Come on, pray. I declare that we are rooted. We are built up in Christ. Our faith is established. We are rooted and built up in Christ. Our faith, oh Shabraka Labobukaskadia. We are rooted and built up in Christ. Our faith is established. Come on, pray that prayer. Rooted and built up in Christ. Our faith is established in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Now, as we begin to conclude this in verse 9, Colossians 2, I want to read it from the kingdom, from the Amplified. It says, for in Christ all the fullness of deity, the Godhead, dwells in bodily form, completely expressing the divine essence of God. And in Christ you have been made complete, achieving spiritual stature through Christ. Let me see if I can get it from the Passion Translation. Colossians 2:9 from the Passion Translation. It says, for he is the complete fullness of deity living in human form, and our own completeness is now found in him. I want you now to, it now says, it's our own completeness is now found in him. We are completely filled with God. We are completely filled. Can you see the audacity of this statement? This is the Passion Translation. It says, we are completely filled with God as Christ's fullness overflows within us. I want you to lift your voice and pray. I am completely filled with God, for Christ's fullness overflows within me. I am completely filled with God, for Christ's fullness overflows within me. Come on, let's pray in the name of Jesus. I am completely filled with God. I am completely filled with God, for Christ's fullness operates, overflows within me. I am completely filled with God, for Christ's fullness operates and overflows within us. I declare this over your children, completely filled with God in their thinking, in every action, every step, completely filled with God. And your fullness overflows. Christ, you overflow within us in every decision. Christ, you overflow. We operate in the overflow of Christ, for we are completely filled with God, completely filled with God, in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name.